You know, even in the midst of the difficulties of our lives, in our day-to-day lives, God is working His plan out in us. The troubles that come are only there to make us strong. Your trials are there to make you strong. People of character are people who have been tried in the fires. Amen. In life, as we mature and we grow naturally, it's also true that we learn as we go along. And when we're young, we think that we're so adult. We think we're so grown up when we're young. Has anybody been there, done that? Thought you were so grown up? You know, you got kids, they're so young today, and they're putting on the makeup, and they want to look grown up, you know. And everybody's in a hurry to grow up. And yet you're not going to grow any faster than the way God designed you. And, you know, the same thing is true spiritually, except that we do have a part. And how many know you don't grow naturally unless you're feeding yourself? You'll die, right? So spiritually, we've got to be feeding ourselves in order to grow. We need to feed on the Word of God. I think one of the biggest problems that we're facing in America today is a lack of biblical knowledge. People don't know the Bible. They don't know what God says. People are chasing fire trucks. They're going over to this great big thing over here and that big thing over there and this latest thing over here and the latest trend over there. And the whole time God is saying, well, what about me? Have you forgotten what it's all about? It's, I did all this so you could be with me. Amen. Jesus went to the cross so we could be with Him. And so don't get caught up in stuff of God and lose God in the process of it. How many know that you can do that? You can get busy for Jesus and miss Jesus. You can be busy in your own home. You can have a guest sitting in your living room and be like Martha, who was doing a good thing, but it was just, you know, it was a distraction from the better thing, which was to sit at Jesus' feet. How many watched that recent movie, Heaven is for Real? Heaven is for Real. I would probably give it maybe a 6 or 7, just personally. I feel absolutely that people have had divine encounters, that people have died and have seen heaven. We've been in meetings where people have had visions of heaven. So when we know that heaven is a reality, heaven is for real. However, most people are not going to heaven. Most are not going to heaven, folks. And one of the disappointments of this movie is that that was kind of the message that you got. The child was young. You know, I believe that children that die go to be with the Lord. We are responsible for the measure of light that we receive from God. The measure of revelation that we receive from God, we're responsible for. We're not responsible for that which we don't know. God is just, and we'll leave all final judgment up to Him. Amen? But my question today is hell for real? Because many people believe in heaven, but they don't believe in hell. And there are those who don't believe in heaven or hell. I remember that song by John Lennon called Imagine. How many have heard the word, you know, the song Imagine? In that he says, imagine there is no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Just because we imagine something doesn't make it a reality. Doesn't mean that it's true. We have the ability to create in our mind anything we want. You can form any god in your mind that you want. People form all kinds of images and they put them down in art form or they make movies about it. Your imagination is really neutral. It depends on what's being printed on the screen, what's on the screen of your imagination. And so in this song, he talks about, wouldn't it be great if there was no heaven and there was no hell? Let's imagine if that was the reality. And we all just kind of get along and we hold hands and skip and then, you know, and enjoy life. You know what? That's just not reality, folks. That's not reality. And it doesn't matter how much you want to imagine it to be so, it's not reality. Truth is what's real. Truth doesn't change. If you jump out of an airplane, you're going to fall. That's a law. Amen? The law of gravity. If you jump out of an airplane, you're going to fall. You can imagine that you're a bird and you're going to fly, but you're not. The reality is you're going to fall if you jump out of it, unless you have a parachute. You're still going to fall, but at least you'll land safely. In 2008, a survey was done that showed only 59% of Americans believe that there is a real hell. And I'm sure that has changed since then. But that means that 41% of Americans have embraced a huge lie of Satan concerning hell. 41% of Americans that were polled didn't believe in hell. How many believe today that Satan doesn't want anyone to believe in hell? You can't create your own reality. The lie of Satan is you can create your own reality and it will materialize. There are certain laws that God has placed. God has given us His Word. His Word is to govern all things. And so when we agree or align with the Word, that is a reality that can manifest. There are also darker realities, too, that if we want to give ourselves over to them and imagine those to come into being, they will also, they'll show up. And so we have to guard ourselves. We have to guard our imagination. We have to guard our minds, what we think on, what we dwell on, what we watch, what we allow to enter through our eye gates, our ear gates, and even the mouth gate. Because as you speak, you can bring that, amen, whether it's a positive or negative, into your life. And even people that don't know God are discovering that there is power in the spoken word. Our words are to agree with the words that Jesus speaks, amen? What the Holy Spirit speaks, we are to agree with that. We are to align with that. We are to speak life and not death. Another lie of Satan is that you can become your own God. According to this Bible right here, and I believe this is the Word of God, there is a heaven and a hell, and that everyone is going to end up in one of these two places. And no one is exempt. You're either going to end up in heaven or in hell. No human being or fallen angel can deliver you from this reality. Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, and he appears to men, and he gives them, he speaks lies to them. And he tells them that I can give you power to do this and to do that. I can give you power to escape even responsibility before God. I can give you the ability to escape heaven or hell. In other words, if you bow down and you worship me, then yeah, you won't go to heaven, but you won't go to hell either. That's another lie. Are you hearing me? As if somehow he's above the judgment of God. And he sits as God himself. As he's trying to ascend the throne of God and to place himself above God's rule. And those who listen to this voice are foolish because it leads to death and destruction. Jesus himself spoke of hell as a reality. He spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. And if hell wasn't a reality, then there would be no point to the cross. What did Jesus come to do? He came to save us from sin and death so that we could be with him in heaven. And Jesus said to those who had rejected him when he came, and interesting enough, they were the religious folks of that day. He says, serpents, brood of vipers, Matthew 23, 33. How can you escape the condemnation of hell? According to the word of God, hell is a place of fire and torment. This is a place where God himself is going to allow an infliction of eternal punishment on all those who have rejected his son, Jesus Christ. Folks, I don't care if this is popular or not. I'm here as a delivery boy today, you know, to throw the paper on your porch, and it's up to you. You can pick it up and read it, or you can ignore it. But the truth does not change, and what God says is true. And I believe the words of Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other way to salvation except through that one man, Christ Jesus. There are those who want to believe that you can imagine yourself into a place of nirvana, of complete blissfulness, to achieve this place of ecstasy and eternal bliss, simply by thinking hard enough, dwelling on that thought long enough. Imagine world peace. Folks, God wants world peace. But there is no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. There is only peace in the Prince of Peace. There is only peace in Jesus Christ. Peace on earth is a result of peace in the heart. The reason why there's no peace on earth is because there's no peace in the heart of man, because the heart of man is desperately wicked. Amen? We're born wicked, folks. That's why we must come by way of the cross. We must come through Jesus Christ, that we might receive not only forgiveness of sins, but a new nature, a new heart that loves, a new heart that loves God and loves people. Folks, I want to say this because it's really been on my heart that there are so-called Christians who are living in lawlessness and immorality. There are unbelievers, obviously, that live that life. But there are those who claim to be Christians who live this life. And do you know that by doing so, by living in lawlessness, you're actually rejecting God's Son? You're actually rejecting Jesus? How many ever thought about it that way? When we choose to rebel against God, we are rejecting His authority. We are rejecting His right to be Lord of our lives. Jude chapter 1, verse 4, I want you to hear this, says, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who do what? It says, turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 1:15 says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, verse 16. They profess to know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. How many know it's more than just a verbal denial? Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. How many know it's more than just a verbal denial? In works, one can reject Christ. In their lifestyle, the way that they live their lives, you can either bless the Lord or you can curse Him. Galatians tells us that God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He who sows to his flesh, to the sin nature, will of the flesh reap corruption. How many know hell speaks of a place of corruption? Where the flame is not quenched and the worm does not die. It's an eternal place for those who reject Jesus Christ. And though one may claim to be a follower of Jesus and may even call Him Lord, but in their life, in the way that they live their lives, they can be living in denial of the very one they claim to be Lord. It's getting quiet in here, but folks, we need to hear this. We need to understand that there is a lot of false doctrine today, a lot of delusional thinking that's being tossed around. We need to get back to what God says about it, to what Jesus Himself said about this. Hell is a real place. And Jesus was warning people that at any cost, at all costs, you need to avoid going to this place. Because once a person goes to hell, there is no party. There is no escape. This was a place originally, according to Matthew 25, that was designed for the angels that fell, amen, that rebelled against God, for Lucifer and the fallen angels. That was the original purpose of hell. But all those who reject Christ will also be confined to that same place. And it says, where their smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. In 1 Corinthians 6:9 again, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. This is the truth, folks. If people live this way, they are not going to heaven. But listen to what he said. And such, verse 11, were, everybody say were, some of you. Those who he's speaking of here, folks, are those who have repented. He didn't say, go to the altar and say the sinner's prayer. Jesus calls all men everywhere to repentance. That means that you must forsake death. Amen? You must turn away from Satan and the world. And you must turn to Christ that your sins may be blotted out. And that your names may be in heaven. Amen? Repentance is required for salvation, and yet today there is a cheap grace gospel that gives people salvation before they've ever repented. Folks, unless you have truly repented from your heart of your sins and you have taken, amen, a step away from that to the devil and gone to Jesus Christ, you are not saved. According to the Word of God. Jesus says, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You see, sometimes we give ourselves grace and we compare ourselves to other people. Well, at least I'm not as bad as those people over there. The Bible says there's none good. None of us are good enough. We all have to come the same way. We all have to bow our knee to Christ. We all have to repent and turn away from sin and say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord, I'm willing to follow You now. I'm willing to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow You now. I repent. I've changed my mind. I'm not going to live in sin anymore. And when you mean business with God, He sets you free from it. We've been petting the sin for too long. Are you hearing me? You're petting the sin. My little pet. God says, get rid of it. If your right hand causes you to offend, cut it off and cast it from you. That's how graphic Jesus was about it, because he's saying that's how severe you must be about sin in your life. Jesus broke the power of sin. He broke the power of the devil to set every captive free, and we can be free indeed in His name. Amen. And there's no thing that the devil can make you do except what you choose to do. And there's no hope and no hope unless you repent of those things that God says to. It cost the Father the life of His Son. It cost Jesus, amen, His blood for us. How can we any longer live in those things that cost Him His life? That put Jesus on the cross. Do we love Jesus? If we love Him, we'll obey Him. These are the ones, the some of yous, who are washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Amen. We stop serving sin and death. I've changed my mind. How about you? Jesus says it's more profitable for you in Matthew 5:29 that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Matthew 5:30. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Jesus taught us that there are degrees of punishment as well. Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And these again were different degrees. There's 3 degrees of justice in the land where he was referring to, but he was speaking of a spiritual application here. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Do you see there are 3 different degrees here he's speaking of? There are different degrees of punishment for sins. All sins are terrible. Amen. But not all sins are the same. I know we've been hearing a lot about, oh, there's just a little sin or a big sin. There are differences, folks, in sin. There are big sins and there are little sins. There is a sin, as John said, that leads to death. He makes a distinction. There are sins that don't lead to death and there are sins that lead to death. And some of those that lead to death are the ones that we just read of in 1 Corinthians. Jesus teaches here that calling someone stupid or fool is highly offensive to God. Ever call anybody a fool? I think I've called myself that a few times. But he said in Matthew 12:36, but I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. Do you understand how important it is that we guard what comes out of our mouth? And what we say about another sister or brother, or about another human being even. Our words are either going to be a pleasant thing before the Lord or they're going to be offensive. And your words contain power of life and death. And those who love to talk are going to eat the fruit. So hopefully you're talking the right things, we're saying the right things, things that build and that destroy. That word raca denotes senseless, stupid, or shallow-brained. Another word for that would probably a modern version would be calling somebody an airhead. But that word, you fool, this term has been commonly used to denote those who are idolaters or guilty of great crimes. In other words, this is a very slanderous way to talk to somebody, especially if they're innocent. So it's clear from this passage that there are different degrees of punishment, and they're proportionate to the crime. How many believe hell is a real place? You know why I believe it's real? Because Jesus said it was. And I believe what He says. And He said that we must deal with sin harshly. Because in Matthew 18, in verse 8, Whereas, again, he's talking about your hand or your foot causing you to sin. Cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life maimed or lame or maimed rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into. Here he speaks of everlasting fire. Everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. So here Jesus says that the wicked will be thrown into what? Everlasting fire. This is not speaking of a fire that annihilates its occupants and then it burns out, but rather one that lasts forever. Because there are those who teach erroneously that hell is just a place that people are thrown, they're burned up, and it's over. But yet Jesus is very clear that this is an everlasting fire where their worm is not destroyed and the flame is not quenched. And that word everlasting, by the way, everlasting is the same word you find in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but what? Have everlasting. So hell is as eternal as heaven is. It's the same word used. That those who go to hell will be there forever and ever and ever. It's a scary thing, folks, you know? And, you know, I know someone's going to ask and say, well, are you trying to scare me with this hell stuff? And my answer is this. If you fear hell, it may be that your heart is not truly right with God. And you're not on your way to heaven. How many know that there is a such thing as peace with God? Peace in your heart? That there is a witness by the Spirit of God to your spirit that you are a child of God and you know that you have eternal life? You don't ask a preacher if you're saved. You ask God, God, is it right with me and you? Because preachers will stand up and tell people they're saved, and yet they better have the witness in their own heart. Are you hearing me? When RJ and Kay were here, we sat around the table. Had a few minutes with them throughout the whole ordeal. And we talked about the time when we were saved. When we came to an altar and we prayed through at that altar. It wasn't a pop-up prayer. It was holy conviction that came upon me and I came under what's called the fear of the Lord. And I became aware of my sinfulness and that I was in trouble. My soul was in jeopardy and that I needed grace. I needed mercy. And I went to God and I said, God, forgive me. God, be merciful to me. God, from this point on, I'm going to serve you. Have you ever done that? And the thing that has been lost a lot in the church today is we're giving people this quick pet thing on the television. I believe you just got born again. You said that prayer. And folks, there's no repentance. People have not had godly sorrow that works repentance, not to be regretted. They haven't come to a place where they know that they're lost. You can't preach somebody saved until you preach them lost first. They must first realize that they are in jeopardy, that their soul is in danger. And when you die, if you go to hell, it's too late. You cannot redeem yourself from that place. And there are many people who think, one of these days I'll get my life right with God, but not right now. I want to have fun living for the devil. How many know that's a lie and it's determined that the devil will take you to hell? He knows he has a short time. And again, the only way he can get to God, because he can't touch God except that he touches you or I. So he's coming after you. He's coming after me. He wants to take us to that place. He wants us to become an enemy of the cross all over again. Are you hearing me? He wants us to turn away, to turn our back. He wants us to become what the Bible says is an apostate. And in Paul told Timothy that in the latter times, men will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. And in another place he says that some will depart from the faith. Is it possible to be lost? Yes. It's the Word of God. You see, we can confess Him as Lord, but in our works, in our life, deny Him. And that's why when Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works in your name? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we participate in the anointing and the gifts? He'll say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. You lived a sinful life. You lived in denial of me. You lived in rebellion to me. You may have claimed I was Lord. Jesus, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you? You see, we want to make a distinction between Savior and Lord. How many know the package is complete together? Right. If He's not your Lord, He's not your Savior. See, this is a deception. This is this easy believism. But Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go in. Narrow or confined or difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Most people, folks, are not going to heaven because most people refuse to bow to the authority of Jesus Christ. And yet, God is not mocked. Do you know the Father sees Jesus? And He sees Him on that cross for us, bleeding for us. And it was our sins that put Him on that cross. Do you think that God just thinks it's a light thing? Oh, no big deal. Go ahead and live like the devil. God's not going to be mocked. God is calling men and women, boys and girls, of the age of accountability, once they know better, once they have heard, once they know what's true, what's right, to repentance. That means I change allegiance here. Amen? I'm no longer walking with the devil. I'm walking with Jesus now. I have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm walking in His righteousness. I'm not walking in depression and fear. I'm walking in liberty and life. Amen? Do you understand, folks? There's no middle ground here. God told the Laodicean church, I wish you were either hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out. He's talking to the church. Do you want to know why? Because we are representing Him. We are His ambassadors. We are to protect His honor. We are to live for His glory. We are to show the world this is what Jesus is like. Not this pious, religious, holier-than-thou mentality, but a person who walks with Jesus in relationship and in love and demonstrates to the world that I don't hurt you and I don't hurt God because I walk in love. I don't sin because it breaks God's heart. It grieves my Father's heart. I choose to honor my Father because I represent Him in this world. I want to make Jesus famous. It's not about making a name for myself. It's about making His name great. And that means I have to deny myself when I'm tempted to say no. If God says no, that means no. Let your yes be yes. And your no, no. When you start compromising, that's when evil comes in. And we may say, well, where is grace in all of this? The grace is at the cross. The grace is in Christ. His mercy and grace He gave us at the cross. He poured out His love, amen, His life for us, His blood for us. That means that if we are willing and obedient, we shall receive the benefits of grace. That means if I'm willing to forsake sin and embrace Him, I'll be saved. You see, there's many who just think that they can kind of live a halfway Christian life. There's no such thing. You're either in or you're out. And folks, you know as well as I do, this church is an in or out church. If people are not in, they're not going to stick around here. Are you with me? Amen? You're either all in or you're not. We've got to be all in. Because how many have discovered that this walk does not work unless you're all in? Well, I'll give God a little time on Sunday. I'll give him a little, you know, I'll throw a little change in the dish. I'll give God a little bit of what's left over. God doesn't look at it. He says, are you tipping me? I gave you life and breath and everything you own. You're just going to throw me a tip? We honor God. We get to do this. God sees the heart. The widow woman who threw in the two mites wasn't just a little bit, but it was out of her poverty she gave. And God saw that and Jesus said, hey, check her out. Got Jesus' attention. So he said, most people just give out of the abundance of what they have. Folks, I've been guilty of that. Have you? But when God sometimes interrupts and says, I want you to give this gift. Oh, that can't be God. Well, what God wants to do is, he's first of all, he's testing you whether you're going to really believe him. And if you do it, he's got something so much better for you. Come on. Amen. He says, give me those dime store pearls and I'll give you the real stuff. And we aren't preaching on tithing today. But somehow that just got dropped in there. Because it's all part. It's about our heart, where our heart is. We should be so thankful that God gave his son for us. We should be thankful for Jesus to the degree that, Lord, I'm willing to scrap my plans, my future, my everything, that I might walk with you and follow you for the rest of my life. And I have discovered that whenever God has told me to get rid of something, and I did it, I was free from it. Because the things sometimes that God tells you to get rid of are the things that are controlling us. They're idols. They're things that we worship. And God's sometimes going to touch those idols and say, get rid of that boat. Amen, Jim? Or donate it to the pastor. Amen. I felt that. There's anointing in that. Whatever it is, are we willing? Are we obedient? You know, just because someone refuses the truth doesn't change the truth. Just because somebody chooses not to believe the truth doesn't change the fact that the truth is what's reality. How many have discovered that living the truth is the best way? There's freedom in that. In Luke 13:23, then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. And you know, I was talking to someone on the phone, an evangelist who was trying to come to the church, and I just didn't feel led to do anything with that. But he said something that really stood out while we were talking. We were just talking about kind of the condition of the church, you know. And this guy's been in, I think he said, 27 different churches that he does this circuit. But he says this. He said, you know, if you've got to beg people to come to church, beg people to pray, beg people to read their Bible, beg people to obey God, to witness, then chances are they don't have the witness in them. If we have the witness in us, our life will be a witness. Make sure you have that witness in you. I'm not talking about just talking, but it does involve sharing verbally the message, amen, of the cross and our testimony. What did God do for me? If you don't have that witness in you, then you maybe need to check yourself out. Maybe the fire's gone out. Maybe you've fallen away from your first love. Think back to that time when you first came. And you were so in love with Jesus, every time the church doors were open, you were there. When there's an altar call, you ran down. Amen. When you couldn't get enough of the Bible because you were hungry, you were thirsty, you are alive in Him. Life is good in the zone, the God zone. And now it's kind of like, well, I can go days without it, and maybe even a week or two, and fellowship isn't that important, and going to church is not important, and reading my Bible is not important anymore, and praying, I don't really need to pray anymore. I'm doing pretty good. How many know, folks, that that is not a good place to be in? That is a dangerous place to be in, because somehow the enemy has been seducing you away from your first love. There are idols, there are other things that are entering in and choking you, and now because you have disconnected from Him, you are not bearing fruit like you're supposed to be. Oh, God is patient. Lord, there's a tree over here, it's not bearing fruit. Well, dig up around it. Let's, you know, put some fertilizer on that. Let's give it a little chance. Let's give it some grace. So who, perhaps it will bear fruit. But if not, every branch in me that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. But if it doesn't bear fruit, it's useless. Are you hearing me? We are called to bear fruit. And the only way we bear fruit is by abiding in Jesus Christ. He is our life now. He paid for us with His blood. It's no longer I that live, like Paul said, but Christ in me. The life I now live, I am to live fully submitted to His Lordship. If He's Lord, then He's Savior. If He's Savior, then He's Lord. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Remember the rich man being in hell in torments. Jesus gave the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He was not annihilated, as some people believe. The people are just going to go to hell and it's going to be all over. No, he says, I am tormented in this flame. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. Again, this is a clear statement that hellfire is a place of ongoing agony. Folks, this is a reality, and it should be a sobering reality, that you don't want to go there and you don't want to see anybody else go there. If you have a heart of any kind of compassion and mercy, people need to hear about Jesus. People need to know that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. And if we can't do that, then get your heart right. Get on fire for God. Get down to the altar. Cry out, amen, and let God baptize you again with fresh fire, amen, and renew your heart and your affection and your passion for Him and for others. Don't let your love grow cold. Don't let your fire go out. Don't shut off the flow of the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit is what that means. Amen? But continually keep that oil flowing so that you're going to light up and bear fruit and glorify the Lord. Hallelujah. How many know that we're not to be intimidated? We're not to be afraid. We're not to walk in fear. Fear for a child of God is illegal. Because in love, perfect love, there is no fear. And that love is going to be spread abroad in our hearts because we open our hearts and our lives and we worship Jesus in full abandon. Amen. And we let Him possess us and take us and have us. Lord, I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price, with the precious blood of Jesus. I want to live for Jesus. I want to blaze. I want to burn for Jesus. I don't care if people like me or not. I'm going to love them anyways. I'm going to love them enough to tell them the truth. After the last judgment, all the occupants of hell whose names were not found written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. This is the final destination for all who reject Jesus Christ. Revelation 20 and verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And were then judged. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Folks, you don't want to be a part of that. And whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And according to Revelation 20 and verse 10, just prior to that, it says the devil himself will be cast into the lake of the fire. Amen. Which is a place of everlasting torment. Hell is real. It is as real as heaven is for real. Amen. It's not an allegory. It's not a symbol. It's a real place. Those who die outside the Lord's grace and salvation will be condemned to hell. Hell in the lake of fire is a real place of fire, torment, and agony. The torment is eternal. The fire never goes out. And the occupants of hell are conscious, able to communicate, and aware of their agony, even as the rich man was in the story that Jesus gave us. This is a reality. Many are going to choose to reject this message today, and hopefully not here. But many will certainly reject Jesus by refusing to allow Him to be Lord. And even some who call Him Lord. And you know, I tell you, I have to check myself out too. Am I just going through some church thing? Are we here just playing church? Are we just here having another service? Amen. We're here to be changed. We're here to be transformed. We're here because we want to know Him. And we want to love Him. And we want to serve Him. Amen? And I believe that's why you're here today. Because people who come to this church, they don't come if they just want a little dab to do you. Amen? They're here because they really have a heart for God. And they want to do His will. And God has called us, folks, out of the pew. Amen? And into the marketplace to serve Him. Amen? To go in His name. To proclaim the good news of the gospel. Amen? To cast out demons. To heal the sick, to raise the dead. God called us to walk with Him in this world and make Him known. It's not enough to go to church. We should be in church because that's what God says to do. Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? Is it 10? Verse 18, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Folks, throw the lifesaver out. Amen? Make sure your heart is right with God first. But then throw the lifesaver out. Amen? Invite people to church. Invite people to Jesus. Church is important. There is a lie today that says it's not all that important. Show up once in a while, no big deal. Folks, that is a lie. God says show up, be together, pray together, serve together, encourage one another, build one another up, and then go and do the work, amen, that I've called you to do. Bear fruit, amen. Win souls, win the lost to Jesus, because there is appointed a day in which He shall judge the world. The day is coming, the day of judgment, when every knee shall bow. Even those who mock and scoff and think they're their own God, someday they're going to come face to face with the true God, amen, the God of the universe. And at that day, I want to hear Jesus say, well done, my good, faithful servant. Enter, I know who you are. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. There has been a shift in modern times in the church, in the thinking, even in the message. A different Jesus is being presented. A Jesus that doesn't require holiness. Are you hearing me? That doesn't require repentance. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom. Are you truly born again? See, there are some who will receive that seed on the stony ground, you know. They'll receive it with joy, and they'll spring up immediately. But they don't have any root, and they don't last but for a short time, and they fall away. But when the seed reaches the soil of the good heart, amen, the heart on good soil, and you have a repentant heart and a humble heart before God and an obedient heart before God, then you're going to grow up in Him and you're going to bear fruit. And your fruit will remain. Have you been born again? Truly born again. Amen. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. There are many people who think I can just add Jesus to my life. That's a deception. Jesus says you can't put a new patch on an old garment. Otherwise, it'll make the tear worse. He says you need a whole new garment. You need to scrap the old and you need to become a new creation. When you're truly born again, you become a new creation. How many are with me today? There's a witness in here. Amen?
Amen.
When we're born again, the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. I don't even want to go back. I don't even want to live in sin anymore. I want to totally live for Jesus.
Amen.
And when you grieve the Spirit, you know it. You feel miserable. Yeah, we're still going to make mistakes, but thank God we have an advocate with the Father. Amen? We can come back to Jesus. Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I want to live for you. I want you to be Lord. Folks, I know this is a hard message today. But this message needs to be heard. I hope you know that I love you. And that this is the Word of God. Paul told Timothy that the day would come, the time would come, when men would no longer endure sound teaching. They won't listen to it anymore. And they'll find these other people that will tell them what they want to hear. But it's not the truth. Doesn't matter how hard you try to believe something, if it's not true, it's not true. We've got to believe what is true, what is authentic, what is real. And the reality is that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And there is a loving Savior in Jesus Christ who loves you, who gave Himself for you, who bled and died for you, rose again for you, and is right now, at this moment, at the right hand of the Father. And He would have no greater joy than to welcome you into the kingdom if you will repent of your sin and forsake it and turn to Him. If you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, if you were to die today, that you would be in heaven with Jesus, I want to pray for you this morning. Hallelujah. Would you raise your hands to the Lord right now and say, Lord, forgive me if there's any sin in my life. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness and make my heart clean. Jesus, completely fill me with all of who you are. I want you. I want life. I want your mission. I want your will to be done. I present my life, my body, to you as a living sacrifice. Fill me with your holy fire. And give me holy passion. Deliver me from fear. And fill me with faith to run this race with endurance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.